Corinthians chapter 3, the text on the screen behind will be the ESV version. So please follow along with your text and bring up any differences or thoughts that you may have. Now, we reminded that Paul is addressing the problem of divisions and the divisions that they were having.
So, before we have our prayer, we're just going to read through chapter 3 so that we'll be aware of what Paul is talking about. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in the human way? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another one says, I am of Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you have believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he build upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if one builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but not as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all is yours. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Chapter 3. Dale, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Our Father in heaven and our God, Father, we thank you for another beautiful first day of the week. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and assemble as your church and your children. We thank you especially for the written word, Father, of the Bible, that we can come together and study and read and learn things that you would want us to know and the things that we need to know to live the kind of life that's acceptable to you. We pray that you'll be with Jack this morning as he leads us in a study of Paul's letter to the Corinthian people. We pray that the things that he says to them we can apply to our lives and help us to study in truth and in spirit. Help us to grow in wisdom and knowledge. Help us to be the kind of people that you would want us to be so that we can be the kind of example that the world needs. We just pray for our family and our loved ones, Father, and we especially pray for those that are not as fortunate as we are that would like to be here that are not. Pray that you'll comfort and be with each one and heal them if it be your will, Father, and help us to be your family here on this earth. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If actually we were, I think that we were on about verse 15, if there was not any questions that anybody had. Before I begin, I do want to say a happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Deserve the recognition of being a father, a godly father, one who leads his family in the Lord. Let's pick up. Was there any comments or questions from last week? Okay. Verse 15. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. But not as though or as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? Though he himself may be saved. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. He's already asked him in chapter 3, who has bewitched you? In 4, verse 11, he says, return to God. Return to Christ, lest I have what? Labored in vain. What does God expect of his teachers, of his servants? To labor in his vineyard. To labor. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. Our responsibility is to save whom first? Ourselves. I can share the word. I can show the scriptures. I can make, hopefully, logical conclusions to be able to share what the gospel has said. But I can't give you faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. But I can't tap you on the shoulder and say, boop, you got faith. You can't do that to your children. You hope that you instill faith in them, that you teach them the Word of God, and that you have helped them to develop their faith. But you can't say, here's my faith. It's yours now. Can you? And I think that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians here, is if anyone's work is burned up, he suffers loss. Noah preached for, what, 120 years? How many people did he save? Hundreds?
Eight.
Some people would look upon that as being a bit of a failure. 8 souls out of 120 years. That math just does not look productive, does it? But through Noah, the earth was replenished. Through Noah, God's plan of salvation came to fruition. If any man's work is burned up, you'll suffer loss, though he himself may be saved. But only is through fire. Fire is looked upon as what is it called somewhere? A refiner's fire. It purifies. It allows the dross to be separated from the pure metal. Maybe that's what he's talking about. I think what he's trying to tell the Corinthians here is you Christians, you, the church, in Corinth, is what? God's temple. The Spirit dwells within you collectively. Now in chapter 6, we'll read how the Spirit of God dwells within us individually. Here he's talking to the body collectively. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you? If anyone destroys God's temple, oh man, how can one destroy God's temple? With sin? House.
Teaching false doctrine.
Teaching false doctrine? Others? By being contentious? Yes. As a matter of fact, isn't it in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18? Paul tells the Roman brethren, mark those who are contentious. Avoid them. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. That ought to be a very sobering thought. Somebody look at Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. When you have that passage, raise your hand. Somebody else, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Raise your hand when you have that. Okay, Tom, you still have the mic.
Think that I have come to you to give peace on earth. No, I tell you, but rather division.
Okay. Who has the Romans 16 passage?
Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple.
Thank you. Contrast those two passages. Are they conflicting passages? Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, I came to bring division.
Jesus was not talking about bringing division into the church. He was talking about the division that comes father and son, mother, daughter, parents, their children, division with your neighbors. The world will hate you, and the Jewish nation as a whole hated them. And Paul himself hated the sect of the Nazarene. And that's what he was talking about. He wasn't referring to the church in any way in that passage in Luke.
Very point I was trying to get to. Thank you. Any other observation between these two passages? I think Ed said pretty good. Did you have a comment, Bill? Yeah, maybe.
I think Paul is separating responsibilities here in these passages from those that preach the gospel and those that are converted, it seems to me. And those that are converted are responsible for their own salvation. Once they are converted, they must follow the things that they should. The ones that preach the gospel have responsibility to preach the gospel, but as you said, they can't make a person believe, and they can't do anything other than present the word. And as he said earlier, God gives the increase. But each one has that responsibility. If a convert's work is burned up, then he's going to be lost. But the one that is preaching is not going to be lost as long as he remains faithful. He's done his work. So the responsibility here is on the two to do that. And I think as he talks further about the temple of God, the church collectively, yes, but each one individually in that church is responsible for their own actions as well, and each one has the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I think that's verse 17 is such a powerful verse. I mean, it sends chills up my backbone. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. I get on pages from some of the brethren. I don't know what to say. It's sorry. The division that is sown among believers. Somebody will be held accountable. But, oh, I'm sorry. Where'd he go? He must have stepped out for a second.
Well, can somebody else destroy our temple? We're responsible for, we are the temple of God. We're responsible for it ourselves, and we're responsible for keeping that temple pure.
Okay, that's a good question. Paul has a response or a comment. Can somebody else destroy the temple of God?
Well, somebody that's willfully opposing can do that. But I think there's a difference between those who are teaching false doctrine and not teaching the truth, trying to deceive, and between the erring or mistaken. I think what he's referring to there is they will barely escape. And so I believe that's what he means there. Those that are in error are mistaken. Is making allowance for that. Barely escape.
Mistaken. When you say that, the first thing that comes to my mind is Apollos. He was teaching on limited knowledge. He taught what he knew. But thankfully, Aquila and Priscilla could pull him aside, and he was humble enough to listen and to learn. Barbara?
That you, in verses 16 and 17, that's plural, isn't it?
Yes, because he's referring in verse 17.
The church.
And 16, as to the church itself, the collective body, yes. And that's what he's getting at. Your divisions is what? It is destroying, it is breaking up. When you say, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos and I am Peter and I am of Christ, you're separating into different groups the body of Christ. You're tearing apart the foundation. Ed?
In response to Sister Jane's remark, I think the strong and the mature are less prone to be... that someone else could destroy their faith, corrupt their faith. But if we look what's going on in Corinth, there's not only this division, they're practicing some wrong things, they're suffering fornicators, incest in their group, they're not coming together in a proper way to partake of the Lord's Supper, and on and on. So, I think here he might be talking about, you know, someone who just heard the teaching of Apollo or whoever, and he comes in your midst and he sees what's going on and he says, I don't want any part of this. And I think, yes, then someone could be responsible for destroying the temple of God. And we've got to be mindful of those who are weaker in the faith, young in the faith. And that could be what he's talking about.
That's a good thought. Anybody else? Barbara said that she doesn't think that anybody can take the Spirit of God from an individual. And we'll deal with the individual when we get to chapter 6 if we can. Because here he's dealing with the divisions in the church. Because you have become this party-like atmosphere, and I'm using the word party not as in jubilant, rah, rah, rah. I'm using the word party as in partisanship. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. I just love it when we get down to chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, I have figuratively applied these things to Apollos and to myself, that you may learn what? Not to go beyond what is written. So, yeah, I think he's really addressing the corporate body here at this point. But he does go on. Oops, where am I? I'm here, I'm sorry. Oops, Dale?
Excuse me. In verse 14, he talks about building on the foundation. And so there's a difference between how the gospel is preaching. Like it's been said, you know, they were divided on who they were listening to and not just the foundation of Christ. But over and over through the gospels, we're talked about be not deceived. And if you're deceived, that's how the temple can be destroyed. If you're deceived and you fall away and go with a doctrine that's not on the foundation, then yes, whoever gets you to believe something, just like Eve and Satan and so forth, the temple can be destroyed.
Just like adding one word to the Bible. Thought comes to my mind, people want to add the word only, as in you are saved by faith. Only? The only way it's in there is if you write it in. Jane, does that kind of help answer your question or deal with your question?
In a way, but if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. So if we suffer loss, it's because of our inability to stay faithful.
Well, I think that's he's looking at the teacher themselves there. If the teacher's work is burned up, I mean, if you teach and you teach and you teach and they go left on you, what more can you do? What more can you do? How many times does Paul say, thanks be to God that though you're obedient to that form of doctrine to which you've been committed? Romans chapter 6. 16. Tom, did you have another comment? Okay. Whichever.
I was just going to say, the Corinthians could have actually profited from all of these teachers.
Yes.
It's just like we have today. We don't have one person teaching us everything. So they could have profited just as we profit from having more than one mature person that is able to discern the scriptures.
Mindful of a congregation I grew up in, a person took I don't want to say dislike, but the person was really shaken to the core when the speaker was trying to explain Romans chapter 8 and our relationship to the Father, and he used the phrase Abba Father and interpreted that as Dear Daddy. And this person just lost it. To him it was sacrilegious. Jane?
Well, I guess I'm just obstinate maybe in the fact that I haven't always been a member of the Church of Christ, but I was baptized when I was 10 years old, and I believed in keeping my body as a temple of the Lord. And so I think there's been many people that have tried to destroy it, believe me. And I just think that it's our responsibility to stay faithful.
And you're right. It is our responsibility, and our bodies are the temple. We'll look at that in chapter 6.
Yeah, you've already said it, but I just want to emphasize again, a lot of times there's confusion, because in chapter 6, Paul does say that your body, your personal physical body as an individual, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 3, he says that you collectively as the church are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's using the same terminology to refer to two different ideas, and it can be confusing.
Sure. It can. Thank you. Paul?
I was just going to add that at one time, Israel was seen as the habitation or the temple of God.
True. True. And they unfortunately rejected God, didn't they? Anything else? All right, Robbie.
Okay, did you consider as a collective, when you go to Revelations in the first three or four chapters there, when it's writing to the seven churches, it's talking to them as a whole, just like you're talking about here in this chapter. Because when it addresses, it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, Patmos, and all the different ones, and then goes on with what it's going to do if they don't repent or the different things. So it's doing it as a collective and not the individual. It's addressing every individual, but it's doing them collectively.
Thank you. Ed?
Well, to me, when he's talking about what a teacher builds on the church or on the foundation, if we look at the book of Revelation, there were people like Nicholas and Jezebel who were in the church, but they were teaching things that were not correct and leading people away.
Correct.
I think that's what this talking is. That will be burned up along with your soul in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see. And so he is responsible for leading people astray. Even though a person is responsible for his own, a lot of young people can be led away in a false direction.
Sure.
By a clever, good-sounding person. And now all that's going to be burned up. It won't stand. That's what I think he's talking about.
And I think that's a good application. I don't think that's really what... Because Paul is really talking about their teachers. And about the division that they are causing. The teachers weren't causing the division.
Right.
It was the group... or members of the group that were causing the division.
Is Paul, Peter, and Apollo, we know they spoke the same message.
Right. And we'll even read, I think, if we haven't already, I get lost where I am, that Paul had asked Apollos to join him in writing this letter, but he was occupied, but he would be coming to Corinth shortly. To give that... Can I say the word solidarity? Is that the right word? The oneness of message? Or to say the amen. Maybe that's a simple way to say it. Well, I think as we go on, this next verse, verse 18, let no one deceive himself. Now he's not talking to Apollos. He's not talking to Peter. He is talking to the body of Corinth. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks that he's wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Had a person online give me a logical reason why the Ten Commandments were still in effect today. The logical reason was it is through what? The law that we learn what sin is. And her argument was, if there is no law, then there could be no sin. And I responded, that's an interesting logical thought, but what does the Bible say? I mean, it's supposed to be a Bible study group. Let's open the book. What was it Paul said? And we read, or I quoted, Romans chapter 2, that even Gentiles that were without the law made a law unto themselves and were condemned without the law. Paul came to the conclusion, chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not dependent upon whether we adhere to the Ten Commandments. But I also looked at Hebrews chapter 7 that required a change in the law because Jesus was of the wrong tribe to serve in the temple. But that's discussion for another age, another time. What I was wanting to say here is that here this person thought that they were wise. They made a logical argument, but it was wrong. It had no basis in Scripture. Paul says, let him who is wise in this age become as a fool, that he might, what? Gain wisdom. For wisdom of this world is folly with God. Who can outthink God? It sure wasn't Job, was it? Job got his hand verbally spanked by God. Where were you when I laid the course, the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I laid the, was he talking about the air currents? Or was he talking about the water streams? I forget. Where were you when I chose to make a gazelle? Did I consult you on how long its legs should be? Wisdom of this world cannot compare. He uses this passage in Job chapter 5, verse 13. He catches the wise in their craftiness. You make this great argument. You make this thought that sounds logical and reasonable. And then God speaks. That's the end of the discussion, folks. When God has said it, it's done, done. He catches the wise in their craftiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are monumental. No, that's not what he said. He said, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Quoting possibly from Psalm chapter 94, verse 11. What is a DWD? You know what a DWI is, right? A DWI is driving while intoxicated. What is a DWD?
Driving under drugs.
Distraction. Now, when you're traveling from Colorado to Kansas City in that seamless area that Paul likes, that endless flat land, I've noticed people have been tempted to pull out a magazine or a newspaper, even a book, and have it up on their steering wheel while driving. Well, multitasking is a good thing, right? Isn't that productive? No. Well, I bring that up as an illustration about the wisdom of this age. We are taught to be productive. We're taught to be multitasking. We're taught. This is this. But the wisdom of God says, I'm first. We've got just a couple more minutes, and Kenny's going to ring the bell. So, here's his conclusion, verse 21. Pardon me. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Now, just a minute. We'll get to it in just a second. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or the life or death or present, or the future, who does it belong to? You. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. So, what's there to boast about? And that, boy, did I get somewhere? I lost something. I did. I got to chapter 4. Well, we will be in chapter 4 next week. Because Paul there says a series of three questions. If you're boasting, and they were boasting, I'm of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, and causing the divisions among themselves. What's there to boast about? Paul in chapter 4 will explain, this is how you are to refer to us as servants and to God as stewards. We'll be looking at that next week, Lord willing. Any comments before we close? I appreciate the participation. One thing that's kept me from talking so much. Thank you.